Hello and welcome to Journey Church North County. We appreciate you joining us through this podcast. If you would like to know more about us, feel free to visit us online at journeynorthcounty.org. Thank you once again for joining us and enjoy the message.
All right, good morning. Hey, welcome to Journey Church this morning. We are glad that you decided to wake up and join us. We have been in a series up to this point that was called How to Neighbor. So the series was called How to Neighbor. And basically, for the last 4 weeks, we have been walking through how to be a neighbor to other people based on the fact that Jesus said there are two really important things. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. But then the second, it's to love your neighbor as yourself. But now we're jumping into the series called Margin. Now, the reason why we're doing that is margin is all about you. It's about your relationship with God. Because the first thing out of those two things was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And most of us feel like we don't have the space to do that whatsoever. We don't have any margin in our lives. In fact, if there's one word that could define kind of our existence, it would be busy, right? If someone asks me how I'm doing, I say busy. If I ask you how you're doing, you say busy. And sometimes we say busy is kind of like a badge, like busy equals important. And so busy is an easy way for us to not have to go into any further detail. But just so you know, I'm important, okay? I'm busy. I have a lot going on in my life. I was thinking about margin and how we put margin in our lives. And just think about myself. Like I have a lot going on, and I feel like there's not a lot of margin in my life. I don't put it to ultimate importance, but when I look back, I think margin is my most important moments. I think if we could like go and talk to someone at the end of their life, maybe you've done this. There's some people who are like the no regrets people, right? They have plenty of regrets, but they'll always say, "I have no regrets." But when they say that, they're usually thinking about the regrets that they have, right? So how was life? Did you have any regrets? Nope, no regrets. It just means they've moved on, right? But you'll talk to other people at the end of their life, and they'll actually share with you some of the regrets they've had in life. If you actually sit and listen to those regrets, it's never in their routine. Have you noticed that? Like they never regretted working more. They never regretted the day-to-day stuff they do. Every time anyone mentions a regret, it's something they made space for in the margin or neglected to make space for in the margin. Something like, I wish I had more time for my family. I wish we would have gone on more vacations. I wish we would have taken more time for ourselves. I wish we would have been together more. That's usually, our regrets are usually somewhere in the margins or the lack thereof, not in our routines. Maybe this is you. You ever felt like, I just need more time for myself or more time with the people I love? You ever felt that way? I just need more time for myself or I need more time for the people I love. If that's not you, this is probably you. You feel stressed about finances or situations in your life. You are stressed out about the finances you have or the situations in your life. Usually, both of those things are a result of the fact that there is no margin. You haven't built anything into your life to give you any kind of space. And so what happens is, in your busy schedule, you go from day to day to day. You work, you have your routine, you get home, you spend a little bit of time with your family if you can, and then you have dinner and you go to bed and you repeat and you repeat and you repeat, without actually building or filling in any kind of margin in your life. And I need to let you know to start this whole series that that idea that you just live day to day to day and there's no margin, you're busy all the time, it's unsustainable and it's unbiblical. That's not the way you were ever supposed to live your life. It doesn't matter whether you're younger or older. You're never supposed to live that way, regardless of the life stage you're in. Here's the trick that you'll tell yourself that will always make you feel better. This is just a stage. You ever done that? This is just a time in my life where I'm more busy than the other times, and then all of a sudden that stage turns into another stage, which turns into another stage, and then you look back over your life or your family's life, and you say, man, they sure grew up fast. I can't believe how fast our kids grew up. In reality, they didn't grow up fast. You just missed it. Because there was no margin built in to say, I'm going to spend the time on me and the people that I love the most. And then that transitions into, there's no way I have time to spend time with God. Look at my schedule. And so what happens is our life just takes us downward, turn, turn, turn. And it goes down, down, down until we finally hit rock bottom. And then we turn back to God for a little bit. We build in enough margin to make our life go in an upward trend until we fill it with busy again. Here's the definition of margin. Margin is anything above what is required. Margin is anything above what is required. So you have the things you have to do in life, right? You can't just not make money. That's going to be a problem. You can't just not have any kind of job. That's going to be a problem, right? There are things in your life that are required so that you can live and you can take care of yourself or your family. You've got to do those things. But margin is anything above those things that are required in your life. What do you fill in your margin? See, we all have margin. We all have things that we do over and above the things that are required. We all have time for that. But every time we have margin, we tend to fill it with stuff. Anytime there's a little bit of time, we tend to fill it with things. And then we wonder where all the time went. You can be margining your time. You can have margin in your finances, right? You know margin in your finances when you're budgeting. Margin is anything that's left over after all the money that you've spent. So whatever you budget that you need to live on, margin is the over and above. Right? And so for a lot of us, we would say, well, there is no over and above. I make and I spend. And then I start over next month. But it's because we've never taken the time to build that margin. Here's another lie that you'll probably tell yourself that I told myself is that if I just make more money, I will have more margin. But more money has never equaled more margin. Because if you are like me, I had a year and a half where I made more money than I thought I ever would. And my margin was the same. My margin didn't open up. I just spent more money. I had more. I spent more. I cared less about our budget. We would go out to the movies or out on dates, and we just wouldn't care about the money that we spent. Our lifestyle cost increased, and our margin was nothing. So you may feel that, man, there is no margin. There is no money, but it's because we haven't taken the time to build in the margin in our lives. Here's another one is time your week with nothing on your schedule. How many of you have like time your week where you have nothing to do? Almost nobody, right? But it's because we've never built in those times for ourselves. We put margin in our places where we feel like things are important. But then our schedule just eats up that time. We fill it with things. Here's what you need to know about margin is the best things in your life don't happen in your routines. Don't happen in the everyday. The best things in your life will always happen in your margins. And if you don't believe me, ask the person at the end of their life and see how they describe life and their regrets. See if they describe their everyday routines or if they describe that trip that they went on with their family to the Grand Canyon or that special moment where they saw their kid walk for the first time or that one day a week they set aside every single week to say, this is going to be our family time and no one touches it. That's what they talk about. They don't talk about their job. They don't talk about their day-to-day. They don't talk about their routine. They always talk about their margin. Your memories are made in your margins. So what happens is when we don't take time for any margin for ourselves or for our families, then we don't make the memories and we don't have the times we could have with God and with each other because we've made no time for that. Listen, you will always be able to make the excuse that there is no time. But the truth is, you have the same amount of time that I do. We just spend it differently. The best things in your life don't happen in your routines. They're always going to happen in your margins. There's a story in the Bible in the book of Luke. So if you have your Bible, you can follow along with your Bible app or you can follow along with the screen. You're going to jump over to Luke chapter 10. And there's a story in there about two women. They're actually sisters. Their names are Mary and Martha. And these two people have two different agendas. Let me read you the story. It's Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. Jesus and his disciples were on their way, and he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened up her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered. This is, by the way, if someone says your name twice, it means you're about to get taught something. All right. So, like, if Kate says, "Cody, Cody," I know something bad's about to happen. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Okay, Martha is the person that, like, before anyone comes to my house, I'm going to make sure everything is clean. You're not going to see my messy house. I know that my house is messy 6 days and 23 hours out of the week. But when you come over for that 1 hour, you're going to believe that my house is clean that whole week. I'm going to make sure that we take care of everything before anyone comes over. Martha is task-oriented, right? And some of you might find yourself the same way, that if there's something that needs to be done, you want to take care of that. And then Jesus says something in this text that's incredibly profound for our lives today that we can easily miss. Here it is. "You are worried and upset about many things." Anybody? "You're worried and upset about many things." You came in here this week, you came in here today, and you probably have things on your mind right now that you're not even listening because they're so preoccupied in your mind. You are worried about so many things, but few things are needed. The few things that are needed are our routines, the things that we have to do. Everything above that is margin. So Jesus is saying to you, few things are actually needed. You may think more things are needed because you ascribe importance to those things, but few things are needed. Jesus goes on to say one more thing. It's actually, there's only one. And what he's describing here is simply spending time at the feet of Jesus. Actually, only one thing is really needed. See, what happens is when we spend time at the feet of Jesus, everything else in our life echoes from that. We're better husbands. We're better fathers. We're better friends. We're better employees. All those things echo from this one thing that's needed, simply more time with Jesus. Martha, Martha, you have so many things going on, but let me just tell you, few things are actually needed. I know that you ascribe importance to taking care of everything in your life and that your house has to be nice and everything has to be in order, but I need you to understand that few things are needed. Martha's begging Jesus, "Please tell Mary to help me." And he's trying to help her understand, you have this all upside down. It's great that your house is clean. But why don't you come spend some time with me first? Because that's a thing that's important. Martha, Martha, few things are needed. Actually, let me break it down for you if you didn't understand. Actually, only one thing is really needed. That you spend time with me. Because once you do that, everything else in your life will be an echo of that time you spent with me. Everything else in your life will change because of the time you spent with me. So the question you have to ask yourself is, how many things do I do versus how many things are actually needed? Not how many things do I think are important. You can skew that question really quickly, right? Importance is subjective. How many things do I do versus how many things are actually needed? What's interesting about Martha is that she wasn't distracted by a bad thing. She was actually distracted by a good thing. She was working hard. She was taking care of her home. She was preparing it and getting it ready. No one would say that would be a bad thing. But she was distracted by doing something good. But often, good things will distract us from the things that we're called to do. The things that God wants us for our life, it won't be bad things that distract us. It'll be good things that we've ascribed too much importance to. Because sometimes when we see things are good, we see that they're the only thing that we should be doing. But good things are bad things when they're not the most important thing. And so Martha is doing what is good so she can be distracted by what is most important. Jesus says, there's a few things that are actually needed in a little while. And you'll see, once you do that, everything else will make sense after that. It's said that if Satan, if the enemy can't make you bad, if he can't make you do bad things in your life, he's going to make you busy. If he can't make you bad, he's going to make you busy. Because you'll do good things which make you busy, which will keep you from sitting at the feet of Jesus, which will keep you from spending time with the family that you love, which will keep you from taking time for yourself, because you've ascribed importance to a good thing. And he won't make you bad, but he sure will make you busy. The biggest blessings happen in the margins. Have you ever noticed, if you have kids, they have a way of like really wanting your attention when you need to get the most work done? Have you ever noticed how there's like a trend there? Like when you have those little margin times, they just kind of like want to sit and watch TV. As soon as like I pick up my computer, it's like a radar goes off and my son is like on me, right? And he does this funny thing right now where I picked up my computer and he'll kind of look at me and he does this thing where he kind of like lowers his head and he starts running towards me and then he'll throw out his arms and he'll Superman right into my lap, right? And what happens, I have my computer in my lap, I'm working, I kind of look at him in the corner of my eye, I see him like running full speed, and you know kind of what this looks like? Like, have you been to the mall at 9 a.m. on a weekday? And you see the mall walkers. If you're not laughing, you're probably a mall walker, right? So have you ever seen the mall walkers? And that's kind of how my son would run at me. He would kind of run like, you know, like the mall walkers at 9 a.m. Like I'm trying to get my exercise in, mall walking. So my son will do that, and he'll walk real hard. He'll put his head down, and he'll Superman into my lap, at which point he hits my laptop, and what happens? I'm mad. Son, how could you do that? But what's really happening is my son wants my attention because he's loved me, because he loves me, and I've ascribed so much importance to my work and allowed so little margin for the time that he wants from me that I get angry. See, when your margin decreases, your stress increases. Every time you feel like there is no margin in your life where you have to get something done, your stress level and then your frustration and your anger will always increase with that. It's why divorces happen over finances, because we have left so little margin in our finances that we fight over it, and we fight so much because there's no margin and we're angry, and it's a catch-22 circle that we just keep getting in until we just give up. When margin decreases, stress, anger, and frustration all increase. In that passage, it says, Mary chose what is best. Jesus said, Mary chose what is best. So you need to know this about margin. You always have a choice. Margin is always a choice. It's easier to make the excuse that we have no time. Like we have no say in the matter. Like time is not something that we decide how to use. Or finances isn't something that we decide how to spend. But margin is always a choice. And Jesus says, Mary chose, not it happened to her. Not she has a different life than Martha. Not that Martha is busy and Mary is not. But Mary chose what is best. Here's what a margin-less life looks like. When margin decreases, stress increases. How many of you are like habitually late? You're always late wherever you go. Like half the people raising their hand are in my family. So, but how many of you are late wherever you go, right? Like for me, that stresses me out. Like I do not like being late anywhere. That's a stressor for me. And so when Kate and I got married, I realized like, okay, she's late. Like this is like just something that's in her life that she's late. And I always thought that like this was because she just didn't value being on time. But I found out that like, she does. She does value being on time and all those things. But what I found out was that if she needed to be somewhere at 11 o'clock and it took 15 minutes to get there, she would leave at 10:45 or plan to leave at 10:45. But how many of you know where time you plan to leave at is rarely when you leave, right? You begin to walk out the door and then you forget you got to grab this water bottle or this bag or you forgot these shoes or you forgot something and then 5-10 minutes later you're finally out the door in the car. If you have kids, add 10 minutes, right? And so I realized, no, she actually values that a lot. Like she values being on time. It's that there's no margin built into the time. There's no margin. You leave at 10:45, it takes 15 minutes to get there, it takes 11 o'clock. So what do? Now I say, hey, we have to leave at 10:30. I thought we had to leave at 10:45. No, they changed the time. We have to leave at 10:30. But surprisingly, we're there by 11. Because we've built in margin into the time that we needed to leave. It's the same thing in our life. When we build in margin, it decreases our stress because we're not up to the minute on every single thing in our life and in our schedules. When margin decreases, your relationships decrease. If you and I had a conversation, we just sat down over coffee, and I asked you, what are the things that you love the most? Just give me like three things. Like give me three things that you love more than anything else in this world. You would tell me your three things. And then I would say, okay, tell me the three things you spend the most time on. Because time is affection. And so the things we spend the most time on tend to be the things that we actually love the most, even though we say we love other things. What happens is when we have less time, we have less margin, our relationships suffer. When margin decreases, your relationships decreases. And then when margin decreases, your relationship with God decreases. I had so many conversations with people that say they just struggle to find time for themselves to spend with God during the week. But if we read that passage again, Jesus says, but I got to tell you, there are a few things that are actually important, and actually there may just be one. The time that you spend at the feet of Jesus. And then everything else is an echo of that. Everything else in your life is different because of the margin you built in. Your relationships become better. Your relationship with God becomes better. Your relationship with your spouse, with your kids, with your job, all become better. I'm like an OG Christian, right? Like if you're like me and you've been like a Christian for a while, you may know the term RAs. Anyone ever heard of RAs? It stands for Royal Ambassadors. Basically, it's Christian Boy Scouts. So I was in RAs as a kid, and we would do all the same stuff the Boy Scouts would do, just with a little Christian flair. You know what I'm saying? So like we would get badges for memorizing verses. And I was like good at that. Like I really liked when I was a kid, like to memorize verses. And so like if you memorized 10 verses, you would get a 10 badge. If you memorized 25, you get a 25 badge or a 50 badge. I remember when I got my 50 badge, I was so proud. Like I memorized 50 verses. I put it right up here on top where everyone could see that I had done that. I memorized 50 verses. I couldn't start a fire, but I knew my verses. And so I had my 50 badge on where everyone could see me. That's exactly how I want people to know about me now. I want my badge that says I'm busy. I want people to see that because people ascribe importance to busyness. And so now if I had my same little RA vest, my little Boy Scout vest with my badges on it, the biggest badge would say busy. Because we wear it that way. We show it off and we wear it as a badge. When in reality, busyness could be the most destructive thing in your life. We want people to know we're busy because they know we're important, but in reality, busy is bad. And when the enemy can't make you bad, he's just going to make you busier and busier and busier. God's way of doing life is so much better. When we think about idolatry, we think about something extreme. But really, the busyness in our life can be our idolatry. We're addicted to work. We're addicted to the task in our lives. We haven't built any margin in to spend with God. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Listen, if this is you, if you're connecting at all with this morning, you got to know that like the messages I preach is because like they're like filtering into my life right now. So I usually don't come to you saying, hey, I have this figured out and I just want to tell you all about it. It's usually like, hey, I dealt with this week and I want to talk to you about it. Are you feeling the same way? So these are things that I'm dealing with as well. So if you're with me, if you're connecting this morning, if busyness is a badge for you, you need to hear this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Come to me who are weary and burdened. The only way you do that is you got to build margin to come to Jesus when you're tired and say, I know that I have important things that I have to do. I have to return that phone call. I got to respond to that email. I know I've got important things I have to get done. But I'm going to believe God that his plan is better than my plan. And I'm going to give the thing that's important. I'm going to ascribe the most importance to that. And this week, I'm going to spend time with God and see what happens. It's a faith issue, right? Like somewhere along the line, we've just come under the belief that we know how to take care of our lives better than God does for us. And we think we have it all figured out or we know better than what God does. We take our schedules and we ascribe importance to the things that we think are important. And Jesus has to break all those things down and say, come to me when you are weary and burdened, and I'm the one who will give you rest. So if you're men in the room, for you, for yourself, for your families, you need to lead. You need to be the leader to say, we need rest. We need time. We need space and we need margin in our lives and in our family's life. You're the leader of your household. It's time to lead. If you're a mom in the room, you got to get rid of your guilt for taking some time for yourself. It's crazy that we think that all of our time is meant for other people. And we feel so guilty when we give to other people. If you're a mom in the room, it's time to take some time for yourself. You need margin before it kills you. If you're single in the room, stop filling up your schedule as tight as you can get it. Your job will still be there. Your career will be there. You've got to build some margin in your life. The greatest thing you can do is sit at the feet of Jesus, and you need to do that today. You describe what we often do, I think, when we're single is that we kind of look to the next life stage, like when we get married or when we do this or that. Then this will happen. Nothing will ever replace Jesus in your life. You've got to build the margin in now to spend time with him and to sit at his feet. Psalm 46:10, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. When you're still, when you open up your Bible, even if it's been years, You're ascribing importance to the time you're spending with God. You are building in the margin. You're making the most important thing the most important thing. The next 2 weeks, we're going to do this. We're going to, next week, we're going to talk about scheduling margin. So if you're like, okay, I hear everything you're saying. It makes sense to me. I know that I need to build margin into my life. I'm just not exactly sure how to do that. Next week, we're going to break down some nuts and bolts of here's how we get margin in our schedules and in our lives. And then week three, we're going to talk about the thing that plagues almost all of us, which is financial margin. Most of us probably live paycheck to paycheck. Or even if we don't, there's really no margin in our finances to invest in the things we want to invest in. You want to help other people. You want to be a giver, right? You want to be a giver at church. And you're just like, I can't. Like, I have no margin in my finances. Week three, we're going to talk about how we build in margin into our life, into our finances. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you do so many things, but only one thing is really important. And Mary is doing it right now. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And from that, everything will change and be different. Can you take time this week to do the thing that's most important? Isaiah 58:11 says this. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, and it will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. That's what I want for my life. I want God to renew me every week. I want to come in and worship like we come in and worship. We sing our four songs every week. But I want to come in refreshed, not needing every week. Right? Not like, man, I just need worship this week because I'm so beat down. This is like my time to like get some worship in. If it's like that, it's because there's no margin day to day in our lives. And the only margin is the 1 hour we spend here to listen to God. But God wants us to build that in every single day. And we come in on Sunday morning, it's like we're well watered and ready to worship. Because we spend time with him every single day. So God, would you speak in our margins? God, would you help us in our schedules? Help us in our time? Help us to ascribe importance to the things that are most important in our lives? And help us to stop giving fake importance to things that just make us busier. God, we love you. But God, help us to be more like Mary, who sat at your feet, than Martha, God, who leaves here and is just thinking about the next thing. Even in this next song, God, help us to worship you, give time to you. Thank you for what you're building into us right now, God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for enjoying the message. We hope we helped you know God more intimately. If you feel our ministry is helping you spiritually, feel free to find out more about us at journeynorthcounty.org. Thank you once again for being part of our family, and we'll see you next time.